Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
I guess you looked at that person's budget and you looked at their cable bill, their telephone, their cell phone bill, other things they're spending on. It may turn out that it's just they haven't prioritized healthcare because right now everybody's healthy. Nobody actually wants to spend money on health insurance until they get sick. And then once they're sick, the costs of not having health insurance are a lot worse than the costs of having health insurance. I guarantee you, if that gentleman who just wrote you that letter, and I don't know his particular circumstance and whether he actually has gotten all the information about the subsidies that might be available, but I guarantee you that even at $300 a month, if heaven forbid something happened to him or a family member where they got sick and really needed, let's say, a week's worth of hospitalization, he will wish that he had paid that $300 a month.
And isn't it interesting that when a millionaire comes out and criticizes somebody who's poor, how they should spend their bill? And by the way, welcome to the program. And Cliff is on assignment today. My name is Robin. And with me in the main studio is
Mimi. My name is Mimi.
And open your mic, Mimi. Okay.
My name is Mimi.
And I'm Jim.
And we have Jim in the studio. So it's kind of cool that we have usually we just Cliff and I, but Cliff is on assignment. His assignment is to fix his computer who's arguing with him today. So we've just got a few things to talk about, and what would really be great right now, I'm sure that Jim and Mimi would also encourage people to do so, is to give us a call. And they can do that. And they can do that by calling 646-721-9887. The chat room is open. Yeah, right now, and you can join us there at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. And if you happen to be listening to us on the archives, if you're one of the thousands of people per week that join us, you can still contribute to the program by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com.
And we read all of our emails.
We do.
We read our emails, huh?
We do, and we respond to them everything. So it's that fad called the internet. It's really kind of cool.
Yes.
But the opening audio, which we want to touch on a bit, and we have a couple other things to talk about, too, in the program, that was President Obama participating in a town hall meeting last week with a Spanish language media who sold Obamacare. Like he's, you know, it's already law, but he's still selling it because it's such a failure that he's already making changes in the law, and he was asked the question that if a family of three earning $56,000 a year cannot afford their $315 a month monthly health care premium under Obamacare, what should they do? Because, you know, for somebody making $36,000 a month or a year is...
That's a lot.
It's not a lot of money anymore.
It's not a lot of money, is it?
No, that's about what, minimum wage, a little over minimum wage?
A little over.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of money, and $300 can be a lot. Go ahead. Sorry.
And he's saying, well, you need to give up your cable, which a lot of people are doing thanks to the internet. But, you know, to give up your cell phone, which is a necessity, and most cell phones now are smartphones, so you know,
you get on the internet.
Well, the thing is, you have to have the data plan to get on, especially you're with Verizon. You got to have that data plan, so it's not cheap. You're spending $40, $50 a month just in cell phones, but it's become a necessity.
It is. It is a necessity. How do you get a hold of your family, your loved ones? What's
exactly.
The crisis? Yeah, exactly.
Unless you go ahead and get that free Obama phone.
Okay. I'm not going to make any comments on the free Obama phone today, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to make lots of comments, but we won't talk about that free Obama phone.
I want my free Obama phone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So anyway, we're making better, a little over minimum wage, and we have $36,000 a year, and we're going to spend $315 a month.
Right.
Okay, well, I know what everybody in this room is giving up, but we are giving up, the phone that hooks the wall. Remember that one? You know,
you mean back when they have a tether?
Yeah, that's right. We've given that up. We really have to save money. We've given up cable TV.
That's right.
And we turned down our heat. I freeze. Well, I stay warm, everybody else freezes, or vice versa, winter with, you know, air conditioning. So I think the American public has sacrificed quite a bit just to make this work. I know car insurance. I don't want to have car insurance. He said we didn't want to have health insurance, and until the bill came, we would not be happy. Well, I pay my car insurance. Do I want to pay the car insurance? No. But it's a preventive maintenance thing, and I think most people would love to have health insurance as a preventive maintenance.
Yeah, but car insurance is a choice.
For some people, health insurance is a choice too, Robin.
Right. But there's no law mandating that if you don't have car insurance and you don't have a car, that you're going to be penalized, where the new law says that you just living in the United States and being an American, if you're illegal, it actually says in the bill that you're not required to have health insurance and you're not going to pay the quote-unquote penalty for not.
Okay.
But, if you have a choice of having a car. If you choose to have a car, then by law you have to have car insurance.
All right. You got me.
Yeah.
Okay, you got me. You got a point. You got a really good point there, Robin. Thanks a lot.
Yes. But under the Obamacare, you don't have a choice.
No, you don't.
And that's kind of the thing, especially if you're poor, and Obama's saying, well, subsidies. Well, subsidies ain't nothing.
Well, it depends on what you make, too, you know. If you're flat broke, you make $200 a month, I guess you get the subsidies. These people that make $36,000 a year and have a kid, and maybe they have to have that car and pay car insurance to take their child to school because there's no bus, because we've cut so that maybe they don't have bus service.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's very hard for people. In fact, $36,000 a year gross is $3,000 a month. And that, again, that's gross. So you're probably about $2,400 a month. And that used to be good money, but not nowadays. Anyway, 646-721-9887. Again, Cliff is on assignment today, and him and his computer is arguing with each other, and we're taking bets on who's going to win. I'm betting on the computer.
How much you betting?
Well, I'm poor.
Oh, okay. Is that because you're paying Obamacare?
I'm paying Obamacare.
Is that why you're poor? Because you're paying for your Obamacare and you haven't got your free phone?
Yeah, I want my free Obama phone.
Oh, okay. But you get texts with that. From what I understand, you don't.
I don't know. I have not looked into it. I looked that heavily. 646-721-9887. I do have a what the heck that I wanted to cover here real quick.
Hey, what's your what the heck?
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, this week's award goes out to Six Flags in Texas.
Okay.
And the reason why they earned the award this week is because an injured military vet says that Six Flags disrespect brought him to tears in front of his daughter. A military veteran who lost both his legs in Afghanistan was not allowed to join his 14-year-old daughter on the boomerang ride at Six Flags because of his prosthetic legs. The park employee says that the requirements that a person has to have at least one functional leg and one functional arm to be able to go on the ride. There is no warning indicating that this was a requirement, and the injured soldier said that it was totally devastating to me. He said, "My daughter was there at the time, the entire time, and it got so frustrating that he broke down in front of her and cried." He says also to make insult to injury that instead of refunding his money, that the Six Flags offered to give him tickets so he can come back tomorrow.
And not ride. Cool. I thought that the prosthetics means it's, I mean, if he can run, walk, it's a useful limb, isn't it?
It's useful. I mean, he's able to function. I mean, I can understand safety and whatever, but, you know, you need to come up and say, you need to point this out. So he was embarrassed by what's going on with that, and especially in front of his daughter. You know, I mean, it's hard enough that people that go to war and sacrifice themselves for us. And to have this happen in front of his daughter especially, you know, it's, I mean, there should be some, I can understand safety, but there should be some way to make accommodations.
I understand. You're exactly right. Like when they put your height, you know, you have to be, I don't know, I haven't read it, 4 feet tall in order to ride this ride, and it's out there for everybody to see.
Is that with or without prosthetics?
The height?
Yeah, the height. I don't know. I think it's without.
Okay, even I'm not going to go there.
I guess we should go off. So what's next?
Okay, secondly, we're going to do two awards today, and this one here goes out to the EPA in Wyoming, where Wyoming resident Andy Johnson dreamed of building a stock pond on his land to attract a place where his horses could drink and children could play. He got the required permits and to build this stock pond, except the EPA decided that they didn't like it and that they're now going to impose civil and criminal penalties, including a possible $75,000 per day fine if he does not tear down his dam. They said that he reported the government says he violated the Clean Water Act by building a dam on a creek without a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers. Further, the EPA claims that the material from his pond is being discharged into the waterways. John says he built a stock pond, a man-made pond meant to attract wildlife, which is exempt from the Clean Water Act. He says that I have not paid a dime, nor will I will. I will go bankrupt, and if I have to fight it, my wife and I built the pond together. We put our blood, sweat, and tears into it. It was our dream. So
they're going to fight together, too, hopefully.
They're going to fight together because he did everything, according to the article.
Correctly.
He did everything that he's supposed to. He got the permits, and, of course, after the fact, they came up and said, no.
Well, that's really crazy. How did anybody ever find out about it?
Well, that's the thing is that, in fact, some senators got involved. Republican U.S. Senator John Barcerio and Mike Inslee, nobody's named Smith anymore, both of Wyoming and U.S. Senator David Vitter of L.A., it's Los Angeles, I'm assuming, signed a letter which says, due to fairness and due process requires the EPA base its compliance order on more than just an assumption. Instead of treating Mr. Johnson as guilty until he proves his innocence by demonstrating his entitlement to the Clean Water Act, Section 404, F1C, stock pond exemption, EPA should make its case that a dam was built and that the Section 404 exception does not apply. So basically they're saying...
So it's all over the dam.
It's all over the fact that he dammed it up.
Or he dammed it up.
Yeah, dammed the dam. And...
But he got a permit. He made his own little dam. It's not like he built a cement dam and now everybody around him is suffering because of this.
Right.
He's just on his own property, his own land, correct?
Correct. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He went and contacted everybody that he knows he's supposed to contact and went ahead and built the dam. And we've seen, even here in Oregon, we've seen places where somebody flooded their field.
Exactly.
To provide more water, more storage, and got in trouble saying that they were preventing runoff to go into the streams or that it was polluting. In fact, even in Oregon here, the EPA is on farmers for having dust come off the dirt road.
Wasn't that one of the things they were going to do in Eugene when they had a business, I will not name the business, that wanted to come to Eugene? And remember, they were going to charge them for the dust off the pavement, and so they did not come to our area because of that.
That wouldn't surprise me. There has been...
It was in the newspaper. I read it, so it had to be real.
Yeah, it's like if it's on the Internet, it's got to be true.
That's true. It's got to be true.
It's just like, speaking of Eugene, which is very unbusiness-friendly, by the way, in our opinion. Well, it's been proven. Eugene, and not too many people realize this, thanks to the University of Oregon, another instance of disadvantage about living in a college town where students get involved with local politics. They create laws, and then they leave. Well, one of the laws that they... Right, one of the laws they left us with is that Eugene is a nuclear-free zone.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. The Bolts, right?
There was a company that built Bolts.
Yes.
And, or that manufactured Bolts, and they were thinking about locating here, but they couldn't because bolts are used in
nuclear
weapons.
Yes.
And
so they went to another city.
Well, and Hewlett-Packard is an excellent example. They're based out of Corvallis, Oregon, but they looked at Eugene first. But Eugene says, yeah, we'd love to have you, but we're going to tell you how your campus looks. We're going to basically be in your business. And so Corvallis said, come on over.
Yeah, we'll take them. We'll take your tax money.
And the result is that Hewlett-Packard built a huge campus in Corvallis, and Corvallis is not complaining about having them over there.
Maybe we should move to Corvallis.
Maybe we should.
Yeah. Okay.
646-721-987 if you have anything on this or anything else. Mimi has a little 5-second rule thing that she wanted to talk about here.
Okay, I know we have all heard the food 5-second rule, especially if we have worked in the food service industry. Has anybody heard of the 5-second rule?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And we have all joked when we have dropped whatever we have dropped on the floor and said, oh, it's 5 seconds, pick it up and we'll feed it to our customers. Of course, it went into the garbage. I always thought that was a myth. But today, excuse me here, I find on the computer, as soon as my computer comes up, that they really have considered this 5-second rule. Okay, it says the 5-second rule here. That we've picked up falling food on the floor and didn't really worry about it, put it in our mouth. But we can leave it there from 5 to 30 seconds. And it has been tested. And they used these tests on toast, pizza, biscuits, sticky sweet foods. Dropped them on carpet, laminate, and tile surfaces. What they have found out, according to them, is that bacteria is probably less on the carpet. And we could pick it up and eat it. I will not actually read this whole thing to you. But it there's findings from the Aston University Schools of Life and health scientists in Britain. And they have actually studied this, and they have talked about E. coli and Staphylococcus, however you say that. I never can
close
say
enough.
Those big words, but anyway. And this is really a real thing, and I just thought it was funny for the years that I worked in the food service. So we might consider what we pick up on the floor and put into our mouth.
And you know what would be interesting to note, just like with the stimulus bill, is how many thousands of dollars millions of dollars that they spent on that study.
You know, I'd like to know that. And who picked it up off the floor and ate it?
Yes.
Did anybody here eat it, or did they just pick it up and tip it? I'm sure since this is a scientist place, it was just tested, but maybe one of us could try it out for real.
Well, that's just like, they actually come up with a filter that can filter out urine and make it into drinkable fluids. And it's like, okay, yeah, this thing works great. Who wants to try it?
Not me. Okay, maybe I was out in the desert and drank my normal liquids for the day in quite a bit of time. I would probably say I would do that. But at this point in time, not me. Anybody else volunteer?
Not me.
Everybody's hands down. Okay, we have no volunteers.
No, except for the cat.
Oh, the cat wants to. Well, you know, the cat drinks out of the toilet, too, when you forget to put water in the dish, Robin.
Yeah, that's right. They don't.
Well, there you go.
They don't care.
They don't care.
646-721-9887. We're probably going to have a short show today. Again, Cliff is on assignment to try and get his computer to work, take bets, and we'll see who wins on this one. But
bet on the computer.
My bet's on the computer.
Oh, man. Well, maybe I should give Cliff a little poke here and say I'm going to give him a half of a bet. How much is a half of a bet worth?
I don't know. A half a cup of coffee?
Sure, half a cup of coffee. Cream of sugar? No, he just gets a half a cup of coffee. So we're going to bet that half a cup of coffee that maybe Cliff can fix his computer.
That's right.
You noticed I can't talk today either. My tongue's stuck around my eye teeth, and I can't see what to say.
And it looks very disgusting.
Oh. What, my eye teeth or Cliff working on his computer?
You know, having your tongue wrapped around.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I'm not commenting on that today, Robin. We're supposed to be professional people here, remember?
We are?
Yes. You didn't read the memo.
Dang,
did anybody get the memo today?
Jim, did you get the memo?
No.
Jim didn't get the memo
either. Jim didn't get the memo either. Okay.
But I can't read, so.
He can't read.
All I can say is, oh.
Yeah, it's a weird program today. 646-721-9887. If anybody would like to join us on any of the topics that we're talking about, or we're just going to come up and make our own stuff up as we go along. So,
well, does it help that this is the first time, so I'm a little, what do they call this, microphone shy?
Yeah, she's doing, and that's right, folks. This is her first time. First time on the radio. She's doing really good, and Jim's over here in studio as well. He's biting at the bit to pick up the mic and offer his 2 cents.
He ate the mic.
Oh, man.
But
well,
I know,
we only have 2 mics, so I guess it's Robin and I.
Yes. But I know how to get Jim going. Jim's profession is a truck driver, just like I used to be. And they recently, for people that care or don't care, the Federal Motor Carrier Commission, the FMCSA administration, recently changed the rules requiring truck drivers to have electronic logging in addition to some of the other fun stuff that they enacted recently, which is making things kind of different and difficult. And what's, if you're wondering why some of your, the price of your goods are going up lately, well, this is one of the reasons. And Jim, you've heard about the EBOR, electronic logging, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Yes. My company now does it right now.
Okay. How do you feel about that? How does it affect you?
Well, it's no fun anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and it's actually a little bit easier. I don't have to manipulate the logbook and take chances on it being making an incorrect marking on there. But it's something you got to get used to.
How does it compare to what truck drivers used to use was the paper logs where they would draw a little graph how to keep track of everything, but now they got an electronic timer. And how does that affect you as far as your running?
I've always believed in planning your trips. You know, where you're going to be at the end of the day if you're at your load. But this makes it where you have to plan it even more detailed, because once you start, that time starts, and you cannot change that 14-hour clock.
Yes. What he was referring to is that under the current regulations, as soon as you report to work, your clock starts. You got 14 hours in a day to do what you're going to do, and you're only allowed to drive 11 hours in that day. And one of the new regulations is that you have to take a 30-minute break. Now, here's one of the major differences between the old logs and the new electronic recordings that they recently just passed. If you are coming up onto your weekend, you know, think of this as being working Monday through Friday, and you are 15 minutes away from where you're going to start your weekend. On a paper log, you could probably scrap that 5-10 minutes or whatever. But on the electronic log, if you're 2 seconds over that, you are in violation, and that truck cannot move. Even though you are in sight of where you need to go, that truck has to park there for at least 10 hours.
Correct.
And so one of the reasons why they decided to do this, the Federal Motor Carrier Administration, was for safety. Well, what it actually has done is that it's made it so now they have to rush. They have to hurry, because even though on best made plans, you know, like say if you're taking a trip in your car, you know, you plot your plans out. Well, if you don't make allowances for traffic tie-ups, accidents, flat tires, or even a cop pulling you over and saying hi to you, all that can affect your day, and that clock does not stop.
No, it does not.
Yes.
So what if your site's not a very good part of town, and I'm painting a picture here,
okay? Sure.
We have a fence, right?
Right.
And so we need to get that truck behind that fence to deliver our product, but we can't because the time ran out. And now we're stuck on the other side of the fence where it's not safe. What happens to things like that? Does that really happen in truck driving life?
I'm sure it does.
Oh, it does. Absolutely it does. Like I say, as soon as that flag comes up, as soon as you are out of time, that truck cannot move.
Well, what if it's like a load with produce and you have to get it somewhere and you run out of time and you're stuck? What about that produce? Does it spoil on the truck while you spend your 10 hours waiting? Maybe you guys should answer some of these questions, because I've always been curious about this.
Jim?
It's too bad, so sad. Thank you, government.
Exactly.
They're taking all the availability, you know, to, I've always believed that once I got that load, it's my responsibility to get there on time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken a lot of my options away to be able to do that properly. Now, it also affects our hygiene.
Right.
Because we have 14 hours to do an 11-hour job. You lose 30 minutes a day if you're pre-trip and your post-trip. You lose another 30 minutes a day for your break time, which is stressful because you're thinking, I need to get going. So you've lost an hour there. So now you have 13 hours. If you fuel, you lost at least another 20, 30 minutes.
Okay.
So your 11-hour work day, or to get your 11 hours done, you now only have, what, 12 and a half hours?
12 and a half hours.
Well, that don't give you time to shower, get a good, decent meal. So at the end of the day, you're stuck in a rest area. That's as far as you can get. You can't shower. You can't eat. So now we're living hot dogs, fast food, and pellets.
That's, of course, assuming that there's even a place to park in the rest area, or if the rest area is open.
Mm-hmm.
If the truck stops, have a place to land, if they're open.
Right.
And I mentioned one of the recent changes. Part of what a truck driver can only go about 70 hours per week on their clock, and up until recently with the new rules, you could reset that 70-hour clock by taking a 34-hour, what's called a restart break. You take 34 hours off, and it resets your clock, and you can start over. All good and well. And you could take that break anytime you wanted to until recently.
Yes,
and one of the things that the government said, in the lieu of safety, they claim, is that now you're required to take two periods off between 1 a.m. and 5 a.m., and must include those two periods. Now, they're saying the reason, the logic behind it is because that's when most people sleep. Well, unless, of course, you work at night, and then that doesn't work. But here's the thing that it's caused. Like I said, it has to include those two periods. If you start at 1:05, it does not count because that does not include the two periods. So now your 2 days off, your 34 hours off, now becomes 48 hours off. Also, you have drivers that are scurrying now to find a place to land to make that requirement.
Right.
So what happens if they don't, Jim?
Well, that's kind of like the one that I have, the job that I do. I need to get in the yard by 1 a.m. That's my post trip. That's everything right there.
Right.
And I have barely made it by 8 minutes. If I would have been 1 minute late, instead of being able to take 1 day off, basically, because I get in at 1, I get that 1 to 5 there, then the next night 1 to 5, and that's about 34-hour restart right there.
Uh-huh.
If I've been 1 minute late, I'll have to wait another day, which costs me money.
Yeah. It costs the driver, it costs the company. In fact, a lot of companies are having to hire more drivers just to haul the same amount of freight because of the new rule.
Mask question. Does this make anything safer? Because I thought this all came for the ability that people weren't safe, truck drivers weren't safe. So do these rules make this industry any safer than it was before they enacted these rules and laws?
I don't believe it really makes it safer. It makes a lot more stressful for the driver. Now, does stress make you feel safer? You know, when I'm stressed out and I'm driving, that's not a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing.
No, and like I say, you just now you're watching the clock. People got upset at truck drivers. So you'd be, you know, because they're the knights of the road, and truck drivers
would stop and help you at the side of the road. Is that
exactly? Yeah. That's where I'm going with that. But they can't now.
They don't even have time.
Yeah, they don't have time because it costs so much to run a truck. I mean, just not to mention just tax. Well, taxes is a huge part of it. But, you know, when you look at, well, go to the pump, you know, it may cost you $3.25 for regular, but diesel's $4 a gallon, plus the per-mile tax they throw on top of that.
And speaking of the pumps, that reminds me of another issue we have out there now.
Yes.
Because of our great laws, that 30-minute rule. Now, say I pull into a truck stop,
uh-huh.
And I want to get fuel.
Right.
Well, now I find that I'm waiting longer in that line because, A, There's a driver up there that's on the free line or in front of the free line parking because he's out of field. And he's got to take a 30-minute break, and there's no place for him to park. So we've got to block the free line for that.
Right.
And it's causing a major backup, which, you know, cost me 30 minutes that I did not intend to do at that time.
Which stretched you out, right?
Yeah.
That's also one of the new rules, too. And here's the thing, that if you ever travel some of the freeways, especially like in Montana or whatever, and now think of this, folks. You got a 70-foot vehicle, no place to pull over, and the law says you have to take a 30-minute break within the first 8 hours of starting your trip, and there's no safe place to do that. What are you supposed to do? But if you don't, you're in big trouble. Yes, you
what
in the back.
What you're supposed to do is plan your trip accordingly and be properly prepared. If you know that you cannot drive that 8 hours and have a proper place to start, then you need to stop earlier at a place that you know you can stop.
That's right. And here's another question that they throw in the mix. Say you decide, okay, I'm going to beat this. I'll go ahead and do my 15-minute required pre-trip. I'll just drive for 30 minutes and take my 30-minute break. It doesn't work, because here's a catch-22. You will wind up taking two 30-minute breaks.
Correct. 8-hour rule.
Oh, now we have an 8-hour rule?
Yes. You know, this is so simple.
Oh,
basic.
So now we have an 8-hour rule on top of a 30-minute break on top of who made these decisions?
People that do not know anything about the trucking industry.
But Ann Ferraro rode in a truck for a day and a half. Doesn't that make her an expert?
A day and a half.
She's the head of the FMCSA.
A day and a half. Well, I watched the Apollo flight for like a day, so I can do it.
Yeah.
You could be an astronaut.
Yeah.
You could. You could be an expert. It's real easy for somebody in an office to say that, to make these rules and regulations and based on data which has been challenged. In fact, even data that suggests that this is not even an issue, because truck safety has gone up over the years.
Oh, absolutely.
And to totally reject the information. In fact, they're now finally starting to look at, instead of assuming that when a truck gets into an accident that it's always the truck driver's fault, to actually go into more details. In fact, here's another little known fact, too, that if a truck driver gets into an accident, and I've heard stories about this, the driver can be parked on the side of the road, a car can run into him, and the driver has to take a P-test.
Yes.
Wow.
This actually happened. The driver was parked at his house, bobtail, no trailer, in his driveway. Well, he lived on a corner in the residential area, an intersection. Well, a drunk driver went through that intersection too fast to make the turn properly, went through the truck driver's yard, hit his semi, okay? The drunk driver was injured. The drunk driver's attorney subpoenaed the truck driver's logbook, because if the truck driver was there illegally, should not have been there, then his client would not have been injured.
I'm sorry. We need a bong here.
Yeah.
Bong.
Yeah.
I just had to do that.
Now, as Ron White says, you can't fix stupid, but how stupid is that?
It's
pretty stupid.
Logistical nightmare for drivers. The only perfect day for a truck driver is a day off.
Yeah. A lot of people are getting out of the business, and as more and more regulations come up, the more and more people are getting out. Like Jim said in the beginning, it used to be fun to drive a truck.
Oh, I loved it. I got paid for that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's just that, picture this, is that, and I've driven truck for over 4 years. You pull into a weigh station. Now you know you've done your pre-trip. You checked all your lights. Everything works. Well, things happen. You pull into a weigh station, and you're kind of going, please, everything work. Please, everything work. Please, everything still work.
Right.
And at that point, you have a bulb that went out. You go through the scale, and some, like what's that one just before Portland going up I-5? Washburn or something like that?
Woodburn.
When you're going through that main scale, you got lights on you. You are lit up like crazy, and they're looking at you. And all it takes is one little light to be out, whether you can get to it or not. And they're going to put that red flag on you, and they go around the corner.
They're going to inspect you.
Yeah, they're going to inspect you. And that, again, your clock does not stop.
No, it doesn't stop.
How long does it take for inspection?
Well, it depends on, you know, I recently got inspected to California. And the inspector, I probably waited about 20 minutes before he was ready to inspect me.
Uh-huh.
So I was in pre-inspection status.
Okay.
And it took me close to an hour, and I passed.
Right on.
But you planned your trip to beat the clock, and now,
yes,
you,
I did.
Now you have, you know, you got to redo your plan.
Yeah. Luckily, I was able to make it.
All right. But
I didn't have to feel that day.
Exactly. So all those things can happen, and it's just part of the pressure.
Well, another thing we're finding is that they're making it so logistically hard for us to do our jobs, and there's not going to be a pay increase in the trucking industry. They just can't, because if we get a pay increase, it goes out on the products we haul.
Right.
So our pay increase goes to buying our products, so it doesn't matter. But you're finding that more and more, well, most of your born American truck drivers are getting out of the business. Because
right.
we've always had pride in our ride, and that's going to the wayside.
Exactly.
Well, it's scary.
Well, and it's, again, it's unnecessary, and it, you know, as government gets more and more into the business, I mean, granted, you do have some companies that do skimp. You know, I've heard of stories where drivers have actually gone into the weigh station and got the weighmaster and had him come out to inspect the truck because they can't get tires put on the vehicle. And in that case, the companies do need to get cited. Some of the companies, 2010, they came out with the CSA, which is the I'm trying to remember what CSA stands for, but
Commercial Safety Administration.
Yes, and one of the differences that it did is that it started to hold companies liable.
Yes.
In addition to the truck driver. And the other change that it made is that, unlike the what's called the GAP report, which isn't used, it's still used, but it was a reporting system to keep track of the driver violation. Well, before, you could go from company to company, it didn't matter. The CSA, it follows the driver, it also goes back onto the company. But more companies are responsible. Most drivers are responsible. They're just there to do a job.
Right.
But as Jim indicated, it's getting more and more expensive. You're seeing more owner-operators getting out of the business because it's just they're figuring, you know, you go spend, especially the new car regulations, and with the, what's the additive that you have to add now, DEF, which is basically 60% urine, I think.
That's chemicals, yes.
Yes, it's pretty much that, but that's why some of the exhaust pipes, you know, look really clean in there, and that adds to the cost per gallon. The EPA regulations, they're limiting how old a truck can be.
Yes, they are in California.
Yes.
Yes, they are.
So when you're looking at, what would you say the cost of an average tractor would be?
Oh, now I wouldn't know. I've always been a company driver. That scares me to death to think of even doing that nowadays.
About $125,000, $150,000
at least.
Okay. And so you have a tractor or, you know, semi, and you've taken really good care of it, and the thing's 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old, and, you know, you even got the emissions upgrades. There are some places that won't let you on their property.
Correct.
And so what are you supposed to do? If you're an owner-operator, you got this huge investment, you're paying a couple $1,000s a month minimum for truck payments, plus your fuel, plus your insurance, plus all the taxes, plus, I don't know about your permit book, but my permit book was a three-ring binder about half inch thick.
Nowadays, it got pretty well concise.
Right.
But it just, you know, at the end of the day, your American truck driver is going by the wayside. It really is.
And so people think, well, those big bad trucks, you know, who cares? Well, here's the thing, is that everything, practically without exception, that you use on a daily basis, sometime during its life, was on a truck.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't look at your house. You can't look. If you wear glasses and you're looking through that glass, they run some eyes.
Exactly. Even just the raw material like polycarbonate was brought in on a truck to be manufactured or molded or do whatever.
Correct.
So, you know, I mean, I've talked to people that hate trucks. Get them off the road, they say. Well, put them on rail.
Go for it. Buy a farm, take away your electrical power, and just get a hold of that corn and have a good time with your horses and natural fertilizer.
That's right. I mean, even the Amish come up with things for sale in the general public.
Oh, the Amish go to Walmart, too, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I was in a Walmart back on the East Coast, Amish country, Ohio or something. I was parked at a Walmart, and I thought it was really funny because right in front of where all the trucks were was a post where the Amish could ride their buggies up and tie their horses up while they went into Walmart to do their shopping.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. It kind of takes away from the old thing about the Amish living the rough life.
Mm-hmm.
So much for technology. I bet you even they snuck in the internet.
Yes.
Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell anybody.
But speaking of Walmart, I mean, good and bad about Walmart. I've heard, Jim's probably also heard stories too. There are some good Walmarts and there's some bad Walmarts. And I've known a few Walmarts. In fact, a friend of mine who is an over-the-road driver told me this story one time. He went into a Walmart, came out with about $250 worth of groceries. And most truck drivers, they park way off to the side. You know, they respect. That's a word that's used a lot in truck driving is respect. So, you know, go over to the side of the parking lot so they're not blocking traffic, you know. He was loading his truck with the groceries he's just bought. And a Walmart employee came up to him and said, sir, you can't park your truck here.
Yep.
And he said, well, you want to give me a hand with these groceries then? I'm going to put them back in the store. He goes, why? He says, if I'm not good enough to park my truck here so I can go in and purchase from you, then I don't need to be buying from you.
And we've always, you know, I've been in this business for a long time. And we've got a lot of very responsible old-school truck drivers. And the responsibility, the image is important to us. But we have a lot of, new breed truck drivers that aren't from, they ain't around from around here.
Right.
And they have a different code of morals and reputation and they just don't think of the convenience of other people.
Exactly.
And they think it for us diehard American truck drivers that care about our public, they care about because we think that, you know, every car there has a baby in it.
Yeah.
And some people just don't. But
they don't take
the American truck driver going away.
And unfortunately, the consumer is the one that's going to wind up paying for it. You know, as I said, the cost of goods are going up thanks to the regulations because it takes 1.5 trucks now to do what a single truck could do.
Yep.
And especially the 34-hour reset law because when I drove over the road, for example, I like to start at 3 a.m., especially if I'm in a major city because I avoid a lot of traffic. Now they're forcing me to start at 5 a.m.
Right, because you want to get done well before that 1 a.m. if you're going to do a restart.
Yes.
Truck drivers have more regulations against us than an aircraft pilot does.
Mm-hmm.
We are regulated from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. Responsibilities. Every county's got different rules that we got to know about, state, federal.
Right.
You got to work them all in together.
In fact, one of the rules are during your 10-hour mandatory rest break, it is not uncommon that during that rest break, you are not supposed to be disturbed at all.
Correct.
But how often does a driver who's sleeping during that 10-hour break, even if it's at night, hear a pounding on the door, and it's some state trooper or something like that wanting to talk to him?
Right. And then with this onboard electrical device, that trooper can now say, you need to go up there and go on duty right now. We're doing business right now.
Yeah.
So then after that, you could be 9.5 hours into your 10-hour break, and now this trooper wants to inspect you, and, here goes another 10 hours.
Yeah, you're just minding your own business.
Correct.
Yeah. I heard of a story once where a driver was sleeping, and he was snoring so loudly that a trooper came up and pounded on his door and cited him for fatigue. He woke him up. It's like, yes, he is slightly tired because he was sound asleep, and he got woke up and got cited for fatigue, and he was parked.
Yeah, people that don't know anything about the trucking industry, if they really took a serious look at it, they would be outraged.
Yes. You wouldn't put up with it.
No, I hate it.
And just like I was talking about the example of the inspections, for example, they put your picture this as you own a car, cop pulls you over, puts you up on a rack and checks things that you normally can't check. I mean, they check for every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in fact, there's even if you live in the Eugene area right now, there's if you go down Highway 99, there's a bunch of cameras on the side of the road whose sole job is to check your truck.
Hate to interrupt, but Jim just went out to get his truck, so I'll help you out here.
Okay.
So anyways,
so it's kind of an interesting thing, but like Jim says. Anyways, what we're going to do here, folks, is we're going to leave Cliff fighting with his computer. We're taking the bet.
Well, I don't know. How are we going to find out who won, Cliff or the computer? Now, before the station is over and we turn it off, we need to know who won the computer.
That's right. You're just going to have to stay and find out.
Okay.
But what we are going to do is we are going to invite you to come back next week. If there's anything that you would like to talk about or have or discuss, if anything in the news that, or whatever, give us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And hopefully Cliff will be back. And I wish to thank Mimi and Jim for
being
guests on the program.
We're all coming on today's show.
And then we'll be back next city, same time, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Have a great one.
Bye.
To check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.